Continuing our study in the Gospel according to Mark and taking a look at the Lord Jesus Christ yet again. You know, we all hear of things, stories about people, about events, and we're just not sure what to believe, right? It's always been that way. For example, I just think about some of the things that have come up in the news this week, and I'm sure you could have picked other illustrations. Just this last week, on Valentine's Day, we heard a story of the double amputee Paralympic champion, Oscar Pistorius, nicknamed the Blade Runner. He was a national hero. He is a national hero in South Africa. And you maybe don't even recognize that name, but you know, because if you watched any of the Olympics, you saw this man running on two carbon fiber blades and actually doing quite well in the competition. And just this past week, his model celebrity girlfriend was found shot, murdered in his house. And now they are charging him not only with murder, but with premeditated murder. In an event that has just turned that country upside down, some people call this the O.J. Simpson case of South Africa. And you read a story like that and you wonder, did he really do that? You know, or for that matter, you go back to the O.J. Simpson case and you wonder, did he really take the life of his girlfriend? And some would think yes, and some would think no, and others would say, I'm not sure what I believe. And frequently it's true. We hear stories and we don't know what to believe. Maybe just a second illustration will help with this. On September 11th last year, four people died in an attack on the U.S. Embassy, one including U.S. Ambassador Stevens. And now there's quite a bit of controversy that continues about what took place there in Libya and Benghazi. Because is it true that our president's administration is not being forthcoming in releasing information? And one senator, you all know, he's a senator from the state of South Carolina, Lindsey Graham, is saying there will be no more confirmations until they come forth with more information. And do you believe that the president's cabinet is holding back? Do you believe that's something that's taking place? Or do you believe, as many would say, that this is just a political football that that Republicans are using for their own benefit? And you sit back, a guy like me, and I say, you know, sometimes it's hard to know what to believe. I hear stories. I hear people talking about things. But what is it that I really believe? Well, guys, that's not something new. It's always been that way. And if we could go back 2,000 years plus in time, you say, what would be taking place? We would be hearing stories about Jesus. And we would be hearing about people that encountered Jesus. We would be listening to people who claim that they've heard the teachings of Jesus. And we would be sitting back and reflecting, are these things that I should believe? Of course, many people did believe. There was the Gerasene demoniac. He believed, right? Jesus cast thousands of demons out of this guy. Here's a guy that's out of his mind, living in caves where there were graves, cutting himself. No one could control him. And you say, what happened? He believed. And he put faith in Jesus. And it says here in Mark chapter 5, I'll just look back at verse 15. What was the result? They came to Jesus and observed the man who'd been demon-possessed sitting down clothed and in his right mind, the very man who had the legion, and they became frightened. He believed and became a follower of Jesus. We read last time about a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years. She wasted all of her money on doctors and she had nothing to show for it. She was actually worse off than when she began. And what happened? This unclean woman who really can't be out in public because everybody else would be made unclean. Somehow she sneaks out and she tries to sneak behind Jesus. She knows she's not supposed to touch him, but she touches him anyway because she's thinking, if I can just touch his garment, I'll be okay. She believed. And you say, what's the outcome of that story? We see it again in chapter 5, verse 34. He, Jesus, said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. You see, the maniac believed that Jesus could cast out demons. He believed. The woman with the hemorrhage believed that Jesus could heal sickness. He believed. But Jesus could do more than cast out demons. And Jesus could do more than even heal sick people. Jesus was even able to raise the dead. And that's the title of the message this morning, that Jesus can raise the dead. Father, we thank you that you would give us this incredible account, that you have breathed out words for us that Mark has penned. And we ask by your blessed Holy Spirit that you'd help us to understand your word. We pray that you would help us, Lord, to not merely understand, but to worship as we would read your word. And that through the power of your word, Lord, you would strengthen our faith. And that we too would believe in Jesus, who he is, and what he has done, what he continues to do. To that end, would you work in our hearts, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You say, what are we going to look at this morning? We're going to look at the account that begins with the man. You know the story. We looked at it a little bit last week. Last week we focused on the woman. Today we'll focus more on Jairus. And I've looked up his name, and some people pronounce it in two syllables, some in three. I'll refer to it as Jairus. Look at verse 21 in Mark 5. It says, when Jesus had crossed over again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and so he stayed by the seashore. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus, let's stop there. Here's a guy that's a synagogue official. That would be a lay official, almost today like a government kind of a job. He would oversee the physical management of the synagogue building to make sure that it was kept nice. He would be the guy that would make sure there was always someone there to start the worship service, someone to read the Old Testament, someone to pray, and he would be a well-respected person in the community. This is the kind of guy that Jairus would be. And he's come to a place in life that is very, very difficult. He has a 12-year-old daughter. She's incredibly sick. And what do we learn from this account? First of all, we need to believe in Jesus even when life is hard. Life is very hard for this man. And what does he do? He makes a choice to believe in Jesus. Notice what he does in verse 22. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up, and on seeing him, that's Jesus, fell at his feet. How did this man come to Jesus? He came in humility. That's certainly something for all of us to learn. Guys, if I have faith in Jesus, I come to Jesus, but there's a right way to come. You say, what's the right way? It's in humility. We don't make any demands on Jesus. Who am I to tell him what to do? I have no right to do that. We come as Jairus came, falling at his feet, not challenging him. Jesus, you know, you claim to be God, so if you're really God, heal my daughter. Never that kind of attitude, but coming with true humility. Peter writes in 1 Peter 5, right? God's opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. Here it comes, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That's prayer. You say, what is humble prayer? It's coming to the Lord humbly, falling at his feet, and saying, Lord, my daughter, 12 years old, and she's very, very sick, and she's dying, and just falling at his feet. No arrogance, no pride. Jairus came in humility. He also came, I think, earnestly. Notice what it says in verse 23, and implored him earnestly. So here he is at the feet of Jesus. It says he implored him earnestly. NIV translates that he pleaded earnestly. Another translation, begged him repeatedly. So here's a guy who's sincere. And you say, why does he come to Jesus? Because he had faith. And that's how he came to the Lord. He comes in humility. He comes earnestly. He comes in faith, believing. Notice what he says in verse 23. My little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live. This guy believes. He believes, Jesus, if you just put hands on her, I know you can heal her. And that's the kind of faith we have if we expect God, to be frank, to answer our prayers. James put it this way. If you're praying, make sure, verse 6, that you ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he'll receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways, like water tossed by the wind, a sea that just goes up and down and up and down. I think Jesus will answer my prayer, but I don't know. You know, maybe God will give me what I ask for, but, you know, I don't know. Just up and down. James says, if that's the way you come to Jesus, just don't expect to get your prayer answered. If we want the Lord to answer prayer, we must come in faith. This man had faith. Jesus, if you just touch my daughter, I know you can do this. I believe in you. That's how Jairus comes. You say, what happens? Notice verse 24, please. And he, that is Jesus, went off with him, off with Jairus. And a large crowd was following him and pressing in on him. And if you're reading this story, guys, for the very first time, what would you think? You would think this is going to be wonderful. Here comes a guy. He comes the right way with humility. He's asking Jesus earnestly. He has faith. Please come, touch my daughter, heal her. And Jesus says, yeah, let's go. And they go. And everything should be just fine. Jesus is going to answer his prayer. And that doesn't happen. Notice again verse 24. And he went off with him, and a large crowd was following him and pressing in on him. A woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years. Now here is a delay. Jesus is supposed to be going to this guy's house to heal his daughter. And here comes a woman with this hemorrhage, verse 26, that had endured much at the hands of many physicians, had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. After hearing about Jesus, verse 27, came up in the crowd behind him, touched his cloak. She thought, if I just touch his garments, I'll get well. Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. And no doubt Jairus is thinking, woman, come on. My little girl's home, and she's dying. And that's where we're going. And if he knew anything about her, he would know. She's not even supposed to be touching him anyway. And what happens? She was, verse 29, healed of her affliction. And I could see myself, if I'm Jairus, thinking, okay, that's fine, good. A little delay, she's healed, we're good, let's go. My daughter needs Jesus. And what does Jesus do? Immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? The disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing in on you. You say, who touched me? And if I'm Jairus, I'm thinking, and who cares? Let's go. Verse 32, Jesus looked around to see the woman who had done this. And the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. The whole truth. Maybe even the long version, right? You ever been in a hurry and you ask someone a question and they give you a very long version? And you're like, come on, shorten it up, woman, right? And I don't mean it's normally a woman. I mean, in this case, it's a woman, okay? You shouldn't have laughed at that, okay? All right. I was sincere, okay? Really, that wasn't supposed to be a joke. Okay? So here she is. And she's telling him the story. Verse 34. And Jesus said to her, he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. And while those words were ringing in Jairus' ears, he could still hear those words. Your faith has made you well. One verse later, look at verse 35. While he was still speaking, there came from the house of the synagogue official saying, your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher anymore? Your faith has made you well. Your daughter has died. And here's Jairus. And if I'm Jairus, if you're Jairus, what are you thinking? You know, here I am, and I came to Jesus. I came the right way. I came with humility. I asked the right way. I asked earnestly. I had faith. I knew he could do it. And this woman shows up. And her prayer's answered. Do you ever feel that way? You ever pray for something? The best you know, none of us are perfect, but the best you know, you prayed the right way. You came to Jesus with humility and you said, please. You were praying for something. It wasn't like just a selfish money thing or something. You really prayed hard, Lord, please. And it didn't seem to happen. And maybe what even makes it worse, but it happened for her. Lord, why is it happening for her and not for me? I begged you, Lord. What's going on? This story is an account like that. If you've ever experienced that, then you should be able to experience or identify, rather, with Jairus. You say, Greg, what do? When you pray for something, the best you know, again, we're not perfect, but the best you know, you're humble, you're praying earnestly, you have faith, you know Jesus can do it, and the best you know, it's not happening. Then there's an answer for us in this story. You say, what's the answer? It's our second point. Our first point, believe in Jesus, even when life is hard. Our second point, believe in Jesus, even when prayer seems unanswered. Even when you're asking for something and it's just not happening, don't stop believing, but continue to believe. Look at verse 36, please. But Jesus, overhearing what was spoken. That word overhearing is kind of an interesting word. The word overhearing can also be translated ignoring. And the only other time it's used in the Bible, in Matthew 18, 17, that's how it's translated. Actually, it's translated refusing to listen. And just if you're interested, it's that church discipline context where a couple guys go and say, you know what, you're involved in sin. Don't you want to get right with God? And they just refuse to listen. This may mean, in verse 36, not Jesus overhearing, but Jesus just ignoring them. Here's all these people saying, hey, forget about Jesus, don't trouble him, your kid is dead. And it's not even that he's overhearing it, he's just ignoring him. I could care less what they're saying. What do they know? That's Jesus. And what does Jesus say in verse 36? He said to Jairus, the synagogue official, do not be afraid any longer. Only believe. You say, what does that mean? When prayer seems unanswered, don't fear. You say, I'm fearing that maybe God just forgot about me. Jesus said, don't fear. You say, I fear that maybe God really doesn't love me. Jesus' answer is, don't fear. And you could translate this maybe even this way, stop fearing. You say, well, then what am I supposed to do? Look at verse 36 again. Do not be afraid any longer, only believe. We can translate that, stop fearing, keep believing. That's Jesus' answer. You say, but I came to you and I asked, and it doesn't seem like you answered my prayer. Jesus' answer is always, stop fearing, keep believing. You know how many different ways that might apply to us this morning. I tried to think of just a couple of everyday illustrations, not thinking of anyone in particular. A young man may be praying for a relationship to work out. There's a young lady, and he likes this girl very, very, very much. And he's praying, Lord, would you have everything work out, you know? I would like to just get to know her better and better, and maybe we could spend our lives together, you know, and serve you. She would just be such a great girl. And what happens? Then she breaks up with him. And it's like, Lord, I was humble. I know you could do anything. I believed, and it didn't happen. And that young man asks, why? Guys, is it not possible that Jesus has a better plan? Jesus has something better for this young man. You say, you really think? That's where faith comes in. Quit fearing, keep believing. You say, but you don't know how hard it is, how it hurts when you're really focused on a person and you really want to be serious with them. Jesus says, stop fearing, but keep believing. How about a person who really wants a certain job? He or she wants that job so badly. They're convinced it's the perfect job. It's a job they would love to have for their entire lifetime. And they think, yes, I could see how everything's going to work out well financially, vocationally, for my family. And they pray and they pray and they pray. And they're so convinced that God's going to give it to them. And He doesn't. You say, what does a person like that need to do? Stop fearing, keep believing. Is it not possible that the reason Jesus did not do that is He has something better? You say, you really think? Believe. That's where faith comes in. You say, is it maybe that God just kind of forgot about me? No. Stop fearing. Keep believing. And certainly it's true with health, right? Is it possible that it's for you or for a loved one? Someone is very sick, they're just not doing well, and you pray over and over again, Lord, I know it would honor you to heal this person. Please, won't you heal this person? I know you can. And sometimes Jesus doesn't do that. You say, so what are we supposed to do? Stop fearing, keep believing. You say, you mean there's actually something better than having my loved one healed? Yes. You say, but what would that be? Even if I don't know, stop fearing, keep believing. That if this were a good thing and it would have glorified God, Jesus could have done it. You say, but He didn't do it. Stop fearing and just keep believing. Lord, even if I don't understand, I believe that there's always a reason for what you do, and I know you love me, and I'm going to trust you even when I don't understand. You say, have that kind of trust in Jesus? Yes, because that takes us to our third point this morning. Believe in Jesus, that He can work miracles. He's able to do that, and that's what we see here in the text. You say, what kind of miracles? Jesus is able to raise the dead. Notice verse 37. It says in the text here, and He, Jesus, allowed no one to accompany Him except the inner circle. Who's that? Peter, Andrew, James, John, the inner core. And what happens in verse 38? They came to the house of the synagogue official. And Jesus, He saw a commotion and people loudly weeping and wailing. Now, part of that culture is whenever somebody passed away, you had to hire professional mourners. And it's actually even in the Jewish traditions, no matter how poor you are, you're required to at least hire two people to play the flute. And they would play very sad songs, and one person just to moan and wail. And that was considered the appropriate way to act when someone passed away. But this man is a synagogue official, guys. He's not poor. He's not going to do the minimum. The minimum is, if you don't have any money, you need a minimum of three people to mourn. This guy is probably financially secure. He's going to have many more, as most of us would. And you know what these people are doing? Verse 38, they're making a commotion. They're doing what they're paid to do. They're weeping and they're wailing. In verse 39, entering in, Jesus said to them, why make a commotion and weep? The child has not died, but is asleep. Now, Jesus is not talking literally about the child is sleeping. Jesus is making the point that even though the child is dead, the child will be raised in a very short period of time. In that sense, it's like sleep. You say, well, how do you know the child's really dead? Just look at verse 40. It says, they, all of the people you hired to weep and wail, began laughing at him. They know what dead people are like. That's what they do for a living. They know the difference between passed away and sleeping. So here are people that make their living being by families that have experienced very great loss. And they weep, they mourn, they know what death looks like. Jesus says the child's sleeping. And what do? They begin, verse 40, laughing at him. And Jesus just puts them aside. You know, it's interesting. They were weeping and wailing just a verse ago. Now they're laughing. You say, how can you go from utter despair to laughter that quick? They were never in utter despair. It's just their job. They were paid to be sad. Okay? Verse 40, they began laughing at him, but Jesus, verse 40, putting them all out, he took along the child's father and mother and his own companions and entered the room where the child was. Verse 41, taking the child by the hand, he said to her, and what comes next would be in Aramaic, it would be a language very similar to Hebrew, yet different. And thus, I just want to make the point, this is not like abracadabra. This is not a magical thing. He's speaking words. And Jesus said to her, Talitha cum, which translated means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Verse 42. Immediately the girl got up and began to walk, for she was 12 years old. And immediately they were completely astounded. And you've heard me say this before, but I'm going to say it again. When Jesus heals someone, it's observable and it's immediate. Everything, I'll say it again, the guys on TV can't do. None of this, oh, I think I just healed your back and within 30 days I think it'll be fine. You know, if I were a faith healer, I would do backs too, right? Because how do you do that? You know, nobody could tell, right? But go downtown to the morgue and lay hands on somebody. It's interesting. No one's doing that kind of healing today because they can't. They don't know how. Jesus knew how. And that's what Jesus did. And he raises this girl from the dead. That's what Jesus is able to do that. He not only can cast out demons, he not only can heal sick people, he literally can raise people from the dead. Now I want to, not to spend too much time, but just a very quick digression. You might say, hey, Pastor Greg, you think people can do this today? You know, it's always in the realm of possibility, but I don't think so. Back then, people who could heal could raise the dead. I was talking to a student recently, and she doesn't attend here. She doesn't worship with us, or I wouldn't use this as an illustration. A nice young lady came up to me after class one day, and she said, you don't really believe people have the gift of healing today. I said, no. She said, I believe it. I said, you know of anybody? She said, yes. I said, if you get her, we'll go downtown. We'll go to the morgue, and I want to see somebody that is passed away, a corpse, and then you have your friend lay hands on that person and bring them back to life, because in the New Testament times, people that could heal could raise the dead. And she said, well, I don't necessarily think that she would be able to do that. And I said, well, okay, that's where I'm coming from, right? Is it possible someone has that ability? I tell my students, I am still open. Anytime you want to go downtown with me, we'll go. You show me, and I'll be convinced. Jesus could do that. Jesus knew how to do that. You say, why? Because Jesus was God. Jesus was a person who could cast out demons. Jesus was a person who could heal people. Jesus could raise the dead. You say, well, then why were there healings going on at this time and maybe no one's doing it today? Well, I believe Jesus can still heal people today. Be careful. I never said Jesus can't heal someone today. I never said Jesus can't raise the dead. I'm making the point, the best I know, I don't see people doing it today. Jesus could do it. You say, well, why did he do it? Well, the primary reason, or at least a primary reason, was because it was to verify Jesus is who he said he was. He was God. And people like you and me can't heal people, cast out demons, bring the dead back to life, but Jesus could do that. And it's important that we know that, but more than that, Jesus was also demonstrating what kind of God he was. He was kind, and he was compassionate. It's just half a verse, but I don't want to miss it. When Jesus does these kinds of things, he does it with kindness. and compassion. Notice verse 43, the last verse of the story, please. It says, "And he, Jesus, gave them strict orders that no one should know about this." He was controlling how much information about him would go out. But notice the second half of verse 43, please. Such a nice, compassionate touch. "And Jesus," he said, "that something should be given her to eat." And here he is, even thinking about this little girl's appetite. Isn't that a blessing in itself? That's the kind of Savior that we have, the Lord Jesus Christ. A God who is able to cast out demons, who is able to heal the sick, who is able to bring the dead back to life. And if we were all alive back then, conclusion, and you are hearing these kinds of stories, would you believe? Would you believe? The real question for us, guys, this morning is, we have read yet another one of these stories today. Do you believe? Do you believe in Jesus? You know, you say, well, what do you think about what happened, you know, back at that U.S. embassy? I don't know what to think about that story. What do you think about what happened, you know, with the Blade Runner or even the O.J. case? I don't know what to believe about those stories, but I know what I think about Jesus. I believe. I believe that these things actually took place. I believe that Jesus Christ is who he said he is. And those are the lessons we learn from a demoniac, a sick woman, and a synagogue official. You say what? That Jesus is able to cast out demons. Believe in Jesus. That Jesus is able to heal the sick. Believe in Jesus. And that Jesus is able to raise the dead. Believe in Jesus. And you may be going through a rough time, or you've just maybe come out of a rough time, and you're saying, "Greg, I want to believe, but you don't understand. I came to him and I prayed and I was humble and I really, really believed he could answer my prayer, and the best I know, he didn't. So now what do I do?" And Jairus' story is the answer. Stop fearing, keep believing. That Jesus is able to do anything he wants to do. He'll always do what is best for you and what will bring him glory. And even when I don't understand what that is, I can still keep believing. "Lord, I don't get it. I thought you were going to do this and you didn't. Maybe you have a better plan. I don't understand this, Lord. I don't pretend to understand. But if you'll give me the grace, I will stop fearing and keep believing." That's the kind of faith that we all must have in Jesus. That even when it seems our prayers aren't being answered, that at the end of the day, we still pray, "Lord, by your grace, I will stop fearing and I will keep believing, because I believe that Jesus Christ truly is God." By his grace, may we have that kind of faith. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have given us the joy of hearing these wonderful stories yet again. Lord, every one in this room is called to the place of decision. As we would answer the question, do we believe these stories? Do we believe that Jesus truly is able to cast out demons, heal the sick, and raise the dead? Lord, we pray for every person in this room who maybe has never come to that place of confessing sin and putting faith in Jesus Christ, that even this morning, that person would say, "Yes, I believe, and I want Jesus to be my Savior, and that individual would confess sin, repent, and put faith in the cross and believe that Jesus actually did die in our place, rose again, victorious over the grave. Lord, if there would be any here this morning that have never put faith in Christ for salvation, we pray that you would bless them and help them, bring them to that place. Lord, we pray for the many, I trust all that are in this room this morning, that are your children. Lord, for many of us, perhaps all of us, there have been times where we've come to you humbly, and in faith, we have earnestly asked for things to happen. And the best we know, the best we can tell, they didn't happen. Lord, would you please, by your grace, give us the ability to stop fearing and keep believing? Lord, would you please give us the faith to realize it well may be that you have a better plan. Something that we don't understand, something that doesn't make any sense to us. Yet by your grace, would you truly, Lord, help us to understand that that well may be the case. You have a better plan. And we can trust you. We can believe in you. We have truly no reason to fear. Lord, help us to have that kind of faith in the person and work of your wonderful Son, our lovely Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.